every day from noon to 3.
I said I watched some wrestling. I watched a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. I was talking about the Kingsguard, and...
I don't know, I heard Kingsguard, and it made me think of Game of Thrones. What were you talking about?
When Jon Snow died.
Ah! Stop!
On 1340 WKGN.
Every time you're not paying attention, I come back with a Game of Thrones spoiler.
What kind of person spoils things for people who are in the middle of a season? It's like the most inhumane thing you can do as a person.
As a radio professional, the rudest thing you can do is not pay attention.
You said Kingsguard.
Yes, Kingsguard, Amon Shumpert.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the Sacramento Kings.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Shawnee writes in, does John Reed know the difference between a bow and a crossbow? You know, that's a fair question. I do know the difference, but I do acknowledge that as I was having that conversation last hour, I was just kind of combining the two. I want to do the bow and arrow. I want the bow and arrow, not the crossbow. The crossbow is like the thing that you like hold and shoot,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
That's what you were talking about. Then I kind of
you're
just
talking about a compound bow. That's harder.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. So that's not that's still manly, right? The bow and arrow is still manly, right?
Yeah, and I don't think first of all, there's nothing wrong with not being manly.
I want the bow and arrow. Just please let the record show that the crossbow is not what I was wanting.
That's
I just
hard.
Want a regular bow and arrow. Yeah,
that'll put some work into your arm.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
what
I want.
I mean, you might pull a muscle doing that.
That's fine.
You may need a glove.
Yeah,
I mean that's a
definitely got to get a glove. You got to have a marksman glove for sure.
You, from what I understand, you do have to be, if you're worried about whether or not you're being enough of a man, you do have to be more of a man with the compound bow, I do believe.
Okay. So, yes, fair question by Shawnee. I do know the difference. It's just I do acknowledge that I just kind of combine the two while talking, and sometimes I'm not a very smart man. Sometimes I'm uneducated. Hour two, headlines. Go to McClure, collision course, right meow.
Well, sometimes, John, you just can't be educated. Like Daryl Morey. That's what LeBron James said last night. He believed Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey wasn't educated before he sent his tweet in support of anti-government protesters in Hong Kong that damaged relations between China and the NBA. Speaking to the media for the first time since the tweet on October 4th, LeBron declined to comment about the politically tense situation. But he did talk about Morey's tweet and how it has jeopardized the relationship between China and the league, owners, teams, and players, and people on the internet not happy with LeBron's comments.
Well, people were waiting to see LeBron speak, and LeBron, he didn't come out and speak on China. He didn't come out and condemn China. He basically came out and said, Daryl Morey put us in a bad situation. Like, hey, my team was over in China. Could have waited a week until we got back before saying that. Like, your tweet caused a lot of us stress and could have caused us harm. Now, I don't know if, like, you should be saying that's going to cause you physical harm, because if you think that, like, China's going to physically harm the NBA players for a bad tweet, like, maybe don't send them to China, right? Like, there's that. If you're scared that you're going to get physically harmed, maybe don't send them a place you are worried about that. But I do understand that LeBron's saying, look, Daryl Morey could have waited a week until we got back. Then everyone was really quick to latch on to the uneducated comment where he said Daryl Morey was uneducated. You had a lot of people lining up to say, uneducated? LeBron, he barely finished high school.
Daryl Morey went to MIT.
Daryl Morey went to MIT and Northwestern, like, Yes, he did. That doesn't mean that he is educated on everything. Going to MIT and Northwestern does not mean that I would trust Daryl Morey to change the oil in my car. I don't feel like he is educated on how to shoot a bow and arrow. Like, you can be educated in different things. Like, your college degrees don't make you educated in everything. I have a college degree. I know. Trust me, it's not as good as Northwestern's or it's not as good as MIT's, but there's a lot of things I'm not more educated on than the person who didn't go to college at all, like LeBron James. That was like the easiest way to go clout chasing, I guess, yesterday was to point that out. Do a little clout chasing. Just be like, LeBron's so smart, he went to high school. This guy got 2 degrees in school. I mean, okay. It seems like you were just in a hurry to call LeBron James dumb. Like, you, I get it. You think all athletes not named Peyton Manning are dumb. You don't care what celebrities think about social issues until they run for president. Like, I get that. You want people to stay in their lane. Okay, that's fine. But, like, just to latch on to the uneducated comment and be mad about that just seemed like a real easy way to tweet out your little jokes about degrees and feel like you're going to get some attention for it. And
go tweet something that Clay Travis just tweeted. Like, because he said it, so you got to go say it now.
Felt like it was easy to latch on to that. Like, never mind. Like, if you want to say LeBron James is a coward for not speaking out against China, that's fine. Like, if you want to say that, I don't even disagree. He is talking about being hurt financially. Like, okay, like, we want him to give up potentially hundreds of millions of dollars to do what?
Well, that's what I would do.
To make you feel good about yourself? Like, I don't understand that because, like, you know, I had people responding to me saying, well, what about, you think he's stressed out? What about the people, what about the Muslims, who everyone all of a sudden cares about, being put into all these camps and having their organs harvested? I'm like, okay, like, let's have a serious discussion then. Do you think LeBron James tweeting or saying anything about that and condemning China is going to change anything? No? Okay. Like, you acknowledge that it's not going to do a damn thing for anything. Like, LeBron's not bigger than China. China's not going to buckle to LeBron James. Like, you just want to have your gotcha moment where you're like, hey, this guy wants to speak out about police brutality against black people, and I don't like that, so now say something bad about China, you coward.
Right.
Say something.
And these people don't give a damn about the Chinese people. They don't care what the Chinese people, they don't care what's happening over there. But the fact that the NBA gets involved in it, now they want to jump into it. And it's because their political ideas are different than those of the NBA players. That's what I think.
It's just, it came down to me, like, what are we wanting here? We want LeBron to come out and all of a sudden be well-versed in international diplomacy or speak out against horrors of, you know, like, some people say it's not a political thing, it's a human rights thing. Okay, well, that's...
Well, why didn't you care about the human rights before? If you're so concerned about the human rights, why weren't you, you know, reading up on the news? They're talking about China in the news, you know, you can see it there. Go research it if you care so much about it. You don't care about it. You care about it now because LeBron and the NBA got involved, and they think differently about things than you do, and you want to take a shot at them.
Like, everyone, it seems like everyone is wanting the NBA to make this big political statement about human rights and all this stuff, and they want the NBA to do that. Yet, I'm going to guess the Venn diagram is not a perfect circle, but close to a full circle of the same people who wanted the NFL to stop letting players voice their issues on human rights. Like, they didn't like it when people were kneeling for the anthem as a way to say something about people's civil rights. But now those people want the NBA as a league to come together and condemn China and turn down hundreds of millions of dollars. Just, like, it seems like there's a no-win situation for everybody, and it's hit that part. It's hit that point where it just seems like a story that is got a no-win situation in it, I think. Like, everyone wanted to latch on to what LeBron said as if he's some uneducated person, when all he was saying was, like, hey, maybe don't send that whenever we're all in China. Like, maybe don't do that. Maybe don't do that. Maybe don't make us go through a week of a firestorm over there because you wanted to voice your support. Like, maybe just wait a week. The issue is still going to be going on a week. Wait till we get home. Can you do that?
I just don't understand why suddenly people want to pretend to care about something. I think it's just because they don't like LeBron and they don't like the NBA. Otherwise, wouldn't they have cared beforehand, before all this happened?
Like I said, it's people just, it seems like we want an awful lot out of this situation. Like, if you want to rip Steve Kerr, like, I ripped Steve Kerr last week. Like, I mean, the way he went about business was bad. It seemed like LeBron let both sides down here. The quote-unquote left wanted LeBron to come out and condemn China, and the right wanted LeBron to come out and condemn China. They wanted both parties wanted him to come out and make some big political statement here. And he let everybody down by doing that, by not saying anything. And look, you have to be you have to acknowledge that he is protecting his self-interest, both for the NBA and the player salary cap, because if they lose that Chinese money, if they lose the $500 million that the that China does with the NBA, that's going to affect salary caps. That's going to affect teams' bottom lines. That's going to affect the NBA's bottom line. LeBron James does have Space Jam 2 coming out that he is going to want to show in the Asian market. Like, it's going to affect his money, and like that is 100% true. He is saying something that protects his best interest. That is true.
As if everyone else wouldn't do the exact same thing.
Very few people. Very few people.
Very few
people. There's been a couple.
You don't care about China.
There's been a couple throughout history that were willing to do that, but like, I mean, to try to demand that of somebody else just seems a little
crazy. Yeah, but these people on the internet don't care. They don't care. They're going to do they do the exact same thing LeBron did. You don't care about the Chinese people. You just want to take a shot at LeBron and the NBA. That's what it comes down to. They saw an opportunity and they pounced on it. And then they saw the same things everybody else said, all the verified accounts and what they were tweeting about, so then they started tweeting the same things. To me, it's hypocrisy. I don't even care what LeBron and the NBA, I don't care. I'm not standing up for them. I don't care what they say.
Like I said,
it's a hypocrisy of being, they are hypocritical of the people they're calling hypocritical. That's what I think.
And there's a lot of that, but like I said, to me, like, I mean, it's like it seems like an awful lot to like be asking of someone to come out and do. Like, you want political statements now when you didn't care about them earlier. Like, it's just everyone was kind of waiting for a chance to call LeBron James dumb. It seems like there's a good portion of people waiting to do that, so they latched on to an uneducated comment and defended somebody that, you know, came out and started talking about his MIT degrees. Like, you're missing the point, bro. Like, you are. You're really reaching here.
To me, talking about how uneducated he is just something that's a lot deeper down than that.
Like I said, people don't want to hear it from athletes. They think all athletes except Peyton Manning are dumb.
Well, they'd be fine with hearing from them if they agreed with them. It's because the societal issues, the bigger things they want to talk about, they don't agree with.
There's a lot of that. This was an equal issue for both sides. I can't go all the way in on that with the political ties because, like I said, the left and the right were let down in this situation. You saw everyone kind of disappointed in LeBron, either for different reasons. One side was let down because they thought LeBron was bigger than China, or at least was willing to go out and speak out because he's had the quotes about injustice in America and how everyone has to stand up for each other. So like now they're thinking that he should stand up for China, and you can agree or disagree with that. Like I said, I don't know.
Nobody actually cares about what's happening in China.
We probably should, but
very few people.
I'm saying we probably should.
Yeah, we should. I mean,
we should care more. But
I mean,
like,
I at least respect the people that can admit they don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care. What am I going to do?
It's kind of what everyone always says. Like, unless it's going to affect our day-to-day lives, we don't really care.
We really don't. We can act like we care. We can comment thoughts and prayers, but nobody really gives a damn. Nobody cares. It's the people on Facebook. They go comment, oh, what a tragedy. Thoughts and prayers. My thoughts are with the poor people of Syria. Would you take one into your home? No, you wouldn't.
And that was solving the world's political crisis with John and Cody. Any more headlines?
No, I just wanted to get through that.
That was the one headline you had?
I got others.
Would have been nice if you'd have maybe used that for a segment and ran through headlines.
Yeah,
otherwise.
I thought maybe we would talk about it at some point.
So you just open it up with the first headline.
Well, I didn't know we'd go that deep into it. I thought it'd be one of those things where you'd say, I want to save that for...
You know. I don't really want to talk about it. Like, I don't think anyone likes hearing us talk about it. I don't think anyone really likes hearing people talk about it in general. Yet we kind of ironically keep wanting the NBA to talk about it, even though we acknowledge... Like, everyone acknowledges, like, hey, these players don't know anything. Right? Like, the same people are like, hey, the players are dumb. LeBron James is dumb. Yet you want LeBron James to come out and speak on issues like this. Like... Just now, where you can see him, like whether or not he has a backbone, and whether he'll say something about China.
Yeah, like, what are you hoping to accomplish?
It's just gotcha. Want gotcha.
Maybe you just want to shame LeBron. It is the biggest sports story going on right now.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
What's big about it? Like now, is it going to be big moving forward? I understood last night that was the talk of the internet last night, but like, day two, are we still caring about that? Because,
well, it's going on a couple weeks now, isn't it? Like, he sent the tweet on October 4th.
Yeah, but I mean, LeBron brought it back up. It had kind of died down, then LeBron brought it back up.
And it'll die down again. But, I mean, right now, today, I feel like it's...
When I was watching some TV this morning, they were talking about the NFL officiating, so I wasn't sure.
Is that ESPN?
Yeah.
Have they tried to steer clear of it a little bit?
No, they've done more about it. They've done more of it. Like, they, I think, tried to steer clear of it while they had representatives in China.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, hey, let's get our journalists home. Let's get our people home.
I mean, it's the biggest, you know, divisive issue going on for sure.
I don't even know if it's divisive because, like I said, everyone seems to kind of be on the same side of China's bad.
Well, I mean, everyone, I think, believes that, you know. But it's still divisive from a political standpoint.
All right, good batch of headlines. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Kind of tired of talking about the LeBron thing. Yeah. I gotta imagine the NBA is the kind of the same way. They want the season to get here, a week away. Like, I don't think this is going to do anything to help the league, right? Like, this is like, you know, some people think controversy sells. Having your name talked about will be good for business. Just like, hey, get in the news stream. All publicity is good publicity, that type of thing. I don't think this one's going to help viewership or the bottom line at all, right? Like, this isn't going to do anything positive, right? Like, no one's coming out of this thinking, wow, the NBA handled this properly. Right? I mean, no one's feeling that way.
Right.
No one's came out of this looking good.
Right. Yeah, I'd say the NBA probably did not want this to happen if they could have prevented it.
You want to talk some basketball? I believe we've got our first projection for Tennessee basketball, at least in the SEC. SEC basketball standings, you care at all about that?
Yeah, I do. Care a lot about that. It's the first projection from someone reliable or just like a...
It's the first one I've seen. Let me see if I can track it down.
From some publication?
Yeah, let me see if I can track it down. I see that Tennessee is picked to finish. Where do you think Tennessee should be picked to finish in the SEC?
Picked to finish in the SEC this year, I'm going to say sixth.
Sixth?
Maybe even fifth.
I saw fifth.
Okay, well, that seems about right. We're better than middle of the pack. But we're not up top. Like, I don't think we'll be as good as the elite teams this year. The Florida obviously expected to be very good. You know, Kentucky will be up there. I'm sure Pearl's got something at Auburn. But we should be, fifth. Sounds good.
If I told you that Tennessee could finish fifth in the SEC, would you take it?
Yeah, I'd take that right now because that means you're a tournament team for sure. SEC is a pretty good league. How many teams did we get in last year?
Into the entire dance?
Do you remember?
Nah, I've forgotten. I want to say we were well represented.
Yeah. We have been the last couple of years. I mean, I would think that we'd get in five teams pretty easily. So, you know, maybe closer to seven, eight teams. So if we're fifth, I mean, that means we're going to the tournament. And if you go to the tournament, you got a chance to win some games. I'd lock it in.
You finish fifth, you make the tournament.
Yep.
Is that the goal? I mean, we're getting close to the college basketball tip-off, right? We're getting close, and maybe we're not as eager for it. Maybe we're not as, you know, pumped up and ready to go just because we need an escape for football because, quite honestly, kind of looking forward to the end of football season. You know, like, not the end of football season in the sense of that it's over, but, like, the back half of the schedule, I want to see how this team performs. Like, go to Tuscaloosa, do whatever the hell this weekend. Get beat, stay healthy, give a couple highlights, I don't know. But outside of that, I'm pumped up for the other remaining games. Am I alone in that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's. I think we're all excited about it.
Like, in the last five games of the season will be fun. Like, I think, especially, I mean, compared to how we felt after the first game, like, this is a complete 180, at least like a 160. Maybe we're not all the way pumped up, but, like, we're pretty interested and locked into this season. At least I will be the last five games of the season.
Yeah, the Mississippi State win obviously did a lot for that. So we can actually have something to look forward to now. Whether we make it or not, we'll at least be there for the ride.
Yeah, and until the moment Tennessee gets knocked out of bowl eligibility, I think people will be really into it. The South Carolina game is going to have a lot of intrigue.
Yes, it will.
If you win that game, the Missouri game will have a lot of intrigue.
And every game. I mean, Kentucky.
Right.
Because then, you know, you can't really slip up.
If you can get to the fifth win before Vanderbilt, people will be locked in, waiting to see if this team can rally and make a bowl game.
Which is a much better circumstance than we thought we would be looking at.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, after the Georgia State game, we were always like, hey, man, when can
1-11.
When can Rick Barnes and the boys tip off? Like, we're really waiting for that. We are desperate for some good Tennessee publicity. We are desperate for something good to watch.
Imagine if the month of November was just good. If just you got those football wins and basketball season started and you got some good basketball wins. And it was just enjoyable. And we go into the holiday season feeling pretty good as a university. I mean, that could happen. Doesn't have to be one or the other.
Now there's a chance that you're playing some, November 16th against Washington. I believe that's Tennessee's second bye week. But, like, there's a chance that you are feeling good about your football team, or at least better about your football team, and then you're, you know, ready to sit down and watch Barnes and the boys go up to Toronto and play Washington, and you're really into that game, too. Season tips off November 5th. You do get an exhibition game on the 30th, so we're 15 days away from getting a look at this basketball team. Now, like I said, exhibition game, Eastern New Mexico. You'd imagine that's a game where Tennessee can win and look good and just kind of use it as a scrimmage, but we're 15 days away from getting a look at the boys. I think I would lock in fifth in the SEC as well.
I am excited for it. I find myself just because I know there's a good chance we're going to be good. I don't know that we'll be great, but it's good to just have a program. You know what I mean? Schools that just can continue success even in the down years. Like, I feel like we're getting to the point with Tennessee basketball where we expect to make the tournament now. Even if we're not, if it's going to be a bit of a down year, we've lost a lot of production, I think the standard is set that this should be a tournament team.
We're still waiting to get official clearance from Uros. Right? We're still waiting on that, right?
Are we? I thought he was.
No, we're still waiting to see if he gets cleared. We haven't got a clearance on that yet.
I mean, he's practicing and everything, right?
They are moving forward as if he has been cleared, but he has not officially been cleared yet. And, like, you know, if you lost him, if he didn't get cleared, you would be
you'd be struggling in the post.
Yeah, that would take a lot of – I think that would take some excitement out of this program, right? I think this would be a tough loss because, like you said, you are struggling in the post. Now, the people who are covering the team and the team itself is really speaking highly of Big Folk. John Fulkerson's getting a lot of praise. Saying he's ready to be a big-time player by his standards. You know, I'm not saying like SEC player of the year type of big-time player, but that he can be back to kind of a solid player or a good player. You know, he looked like he was on that trajectory before getting injured his freshman year, and he showed some flashes last year, but they're saying he has gotten much better. Lamonte Turner is the leader of this team. You have any questions about that? Like, do you challenge that if I tell you that Lamonte Turner is the leader of this team?
No, I mean, from what I've heard, he looks like one of the best backcourt players in the country.
Yeah, he's been kind of leading the workouts. He's kind of put his stamp on the team. They're like, hey.
He's the Jawan.
Yeah,
the basketball team.
Kind of like, hey, we did some things the last couple years, kind of Admiral's way, but I'm the leader now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to work out this way. And kind of put his stamp on the team. And, you know, Barnes was hoping, like, hey, this we'll have a leader emerge. We're a little worried about leaders, but we have a couple seniors, some backcourt guys, Bowden and Turner, and you know, guys who've been in the program for a while, Fulkerson. I'm a little worried about leadership, but they said Lamonte Turner kind of took that over. He was named to the SEC men's basketball all-SEC team. He was named to the second team. He was one of nine players who received votes for SEC Player of the Year. Tennessee was picked to finish fifth in the regular season race. I'd lock that in. Cody says he'd lock that in. Cam, you locking that in?
Yeah, I'd lock that in for sure.
For sure?
I mean, why not? You know, the top five in the league. It's a good league. You know, it puts you in the tournament. Are we expecting any more than that this year? I mean, I think if you tell everybody right now just that we get to the tournament, that's a good year.
And fifth in the SEC, like the SEC has graduated to being a league that should expect at least, what, seven?
Yeah.
Six, at least six teams in the tournament. Seven, eight's not out of reach. Like, that feels like the depth of the league has gotten, you know, really improved. The depth of the league has gotten good. So if you finish in the top half of the league and you finish around that cut line of between the double bye and the, you know, just the regular bye in the SEC tournament, that's a tournament team, and especially with Tennessee's schedule.
If you're fifth in the league, what is that, 10-8?
We'll call it 10-8. That's good enough to get into the tournament, especially, like you said, the way Tennessee schedules out of conference. They'll play Kansas. They play Washington. They'll get Purdue or Florida State, Memphis. Like, those are all Wisconsin. Those are all good games that help your RPI or whatever the hell it's called now.
I mean, I think RPI. We're all good this year, like with like a 22-11 record or something like that. You know, win 2/3 of your regular season games, basically.
Yeah, I think people would be happy
and
with that.
That's in the tournament. Year. Yeah, even a little fewer. If we get to 20 wins, maybe win one in the SEC tournament. Find a way to get in. You know, if we're in, we're in. I mean, I don't really care this year if it's an 8 seed or a 9 seed or, you know, whatever. We might be an 8-9 type team this year. Then we got a chance in the second round to knock off a 1 seed, which Rick Barnes, hey, yeah.
We're doing this thing. We're doing the same that we do with football, right, where we're down on the team, and then as it gets closer, we start getting excited. But it does feel a little bit more
Well, it was a weird offseason.
It does feel a little bit more realistic whenever you look at the basketball program, right, that they are going to kind of overachieve a little bit, play better than maybe their roster says they should.
I mean,
at least that's the hope.
And you had Rick Pitino coming in talking about how this looks like one of the hardest working, most disciplined teams in the country. Like, that's what you want in basketball. You want good fundamentals, good hardworking guys. Maybe we don't have the most talent this year, but, you know, it feels like we got a good program, and there's something to be said for that. Just having a good program. Maybe you're not winning a championship, you know, every year, but if you're competing, we're healthy in basketball right now.
All right. Nice to talk a little basketball. Tennessee picked to finish fifth in the SEC. Troy asked, would you lock in 20 wins? Yeah. Because that's roughly going to equate to like 20-11, 20-12, something like that. That's good enough to get you in the tournament. Like I said, Tennessee's schedule that they are playing is going to be tough. I'd lock in 20 wins personally. I don't know how the rest of Tennessee fans feel. I would, because that pretty much guarantees you a tournament spot. And that's good enough for me. Just get in, maybe win a couple games, and then that's a good bridge year, and that shouldn't lose you any momentum to this really good recruiting class you have coming in, and that's the year you can kind of go for 1 seed, try to win the championship.
Take the next step. Yeah, 20 wins sounds like a bubble team. I mean, it sounds like you're firmly on the bubble probably with 20. But against that schedule, that means you probably got a couple of key wins in there. So I think I take it. I definitely take 21.
Maybe, definitely 21.
Maybe
so you're rolling the dice on 20.
I might roll the dice on 20.
Got to get to 21, please.
Maybe 21's a magic number. This year's going to be like blackjack. That's a magic number this year.
Stick with us. This is Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. We'll be back on the other side. A little bit of NFL breaking news, Cody, on the injury report.
Yes. The Bears have placed Akeem Hicks, defensive tackle, on the injured reserve list. Akeem Hicks, big-time interior D lineman for the Bears, one of their best players up front. So No good news for the Bears defense.
Seems like a big loss for them. Tennessee Titans, first-round pick, defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. He is practicing this week, so we might see his debut this Sunday against the Chargers. Hopefully he can throw some passes and we can play him at quarterback.
Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah, otherwise I don't know what that's going to do for us.
He's got a pretty good right arm. Pretty strong right arm from what I've seen. So maybe it's worth a shot, you know? Nice sidearm, you know. I've heard he's probably pretty good on the run too. Although he does get eventually apprehended.
Feel good joking about.
And the more I keep this going, the less funny it's going to be.
You feel good about that?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any other references.
Okay. Also, the Titans have announced that they're breaking out all the big guns. King Mason Ramsey.
Yes.
Will be performing the national anthem before the Titans and Chargers game.
That's big. That's big news.
We are desperate. We're throwing out our navy blue pants, our baby blue tops. That's the first time we're breaking these out. We're bringing out Mason Ramsey to sing the anthem. Our first round pick is up and running. He's ready to go, hopefully. We are breaking out all the guns.
So going baby blue on top of navy blue?
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to look good.
I do like the Titans' two-tone blue. That's a pretty good.
Many people hate on the two-tone blue and say we look like we belong in the CFL. Some even go as far as calling them the Toronto Titans. But,
well,
I appreciate the color schemes.
I like the color schemes for the Titans. That red in there with the two-tone blue.
Yeah.
So Mason Ramsey. Coming all the way to Nashville just to sing the national anthem. He probably lives in Nashville.
I think he lives in Nashville now. He's done some stuff with the Titans before. Like at their draft party, I think he hung out there. Really bad that they're going to make him watch this game because the Chargers-Titans is going to be really dumb. We talk about loser-leaves-town match many times.
Yeah.
This feels like whoever loses this game is going to be eliminated from the season. If they're not already. Like, you know, I was dramatic about the Titans after Sunday. I do think, you know, there's still a route they can try to claw to 9 wins. I don't think that's going to be good enough for a wild card, but maybe. I doubt it. I just think there's a way they can claw to 9 wins. Like, I do think if their quarterback position gives them anything, if the offense improves at all, they'll be back in games. I do think they have a playoff-worthy defense. But
yeah,
it also has
a chance
to get really ugly.
Tannehill's going to be the guy, right? I mean, they're not.
They haven't announced yet, have they? Never announced who was good. They said 24 hours. I don't think we've got an announcement yet, right?
No, I haven't seen anything. I mean, would they stick with Mariota?
Have you
not seen enough?
Did you see the argument going online yesterday? Like Mike Vrabel came out and said, hey, we're going to make our decision over the next 24 hours. The Titans Twitter account tweeted out a picture of Mariota and Tannehill and says, you know, basically had Jim Wyatt, their beat reporter that they pay, writing a story basically saying, Titans to decide on quarterback future. And then Delanie Walker, starting tight end, saw it and got mad and was like, this is dividing the fan base, and you wonder why our fans act like this. And some people were like, yeah, how dare the Titans do that? And other people were just like, he's just saying what Mike Vrabel said in a press conference, bro. Like, we're just transcribing the press conference for clicks. Like, this isn't us creating a controversy. This is what your head coach said to everyone.
Can't win for losing sometimes.
Seems like that sometimes, right? So, like, have we seen an announcement, Cam? Have you found one?
I have not seen anything yet.
And like you said,
know, could happen during the show, though. Well,
yeah, I mean, 24 hours. We should be out there soon. Bringing out national champion Vanderbilt baseball to be the 12th Titan. Mason Ramsey. Trying everything except maybe a quarterback change. It seems like you said, Cody, a pretty much a no-brainer. Like, the offense has been really, really bad, right? The offense has been trash. Like, what else do you need to see?
I mean, I don't know what else there is. He's had – what year was he drafted? 15? Or 15? The 15 class?
He played in 15.
He played –
15, 16,
college
17, 18.
14.
Yeah, 15. This is his fifth year. 15, yeah. 16, 17, 18. Yeah.
I mean, is the sample size not big enough at this point?
Man, he's been.
I know he's had good moments, but, I mean, it's time for a change.
He's had moments, and look, I went to the game week 17, right? Week 17 against the Colts, playoff spot on the line, and Mariota didn't play that game. But I was there talking to people, and some people who know some people, and some people who work for the organization were there, and they just kind of told me, because I was mad about it, that he wasn't playing. I was like, this is soft. Like, go out and play. And they're just like, bro, like, he can't feel his arm. Like, he, to the point where he might retire in the offseason. Like, his nerve damage in his arm is just really messed up. And you've seen that this year. Like, he looks like someone who cannot feel his arm. So I think the hesitancy to move on is like, A, like, they don't think he's healthy. But it's a year where he has to be healthy. It's a year where you have to make a decision on him. It's his last year of his contract. You have to either decide, are you going to franchise tag him for, like, you know, $26, $27 million next year and give him one more shot? Are you going to give him a long-term deal? Or are you going to let him go? Right now, it seems like you're going to let him go.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's healthy, it just I don't think it's worth delaying the future of your franchise for, is it?
No, it doesn't seem that way, but I understand the hesitancy of this staff to want to move on, because when you move on, like, whenever you announce that Ryan Tannehill is now your starting quarterback, that pretty much ends Marcus Mariota's career in Tennessee. And some people would say, yeah, so what? But the organization, for them, it means, well, now we got to find a new quarterback. And could you have a potential stopgap? Could Ryan Tannehill be good enough to be your starting quarterback next year and you still draft Jake Burrow or a Jake Fromm, Joe Burrow, excuse me, and let them sit a year? Yeah, maybe. Or would you have to go get a veteran quarterback like an Andy Dalton or a Cam Newton or maybe a Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, like somebody? Are you going to have to go out and get somebody to bring in and be a stopgap? Because, look, this is why this was so important this year. Like, this roster is built to win now. Like, you laugh because they're 2-4, but, like, the defense hasn't given up more than 20 points all year. The defense is full of good veterans and good young players. Like, it's a good roster. You've spent a lot of money on the offensive line. I know they suck and can't block, but you've spent a lot of money and a lot of draft picks on there. You spent high draft picks on your receivers, and I know you don't throw them the ball, but you've spent a lot of money and equity there. So, like, it's not like we're not like the Miami Dolphins. We're like, okay, let's just tear it down and get rid of our couple good players and just really tank. Titans have too many good players to do that.
Right. Right. Will they, they'll still have next year, right? They'll still have the roster intact for the most part and everything. I mean,
right. But, like, I don't think maybe you turn that roster over to a rookie quarterback.
I don't know.
Especially with the coaching staff you have, like, I don't what like that's another
well,
thing. It's like
well, that's another.
That's thing. If this team goes in the tank, like, you're going to be looking at a completely new coaching staff, and, like, are you going to be able to hire a good coach if you're like, yeah, we're immediately going to blow up this roster and tank? Probably not.
No, you can't do that. But I mean, I know that it's to just bring in a rookie quarterback and rely on a rookie quarterback is risky. But if you've got the pieces around him, I mean, in today's NFL, you've seen young quarterbacks have a lot of success. I don't want to say Joe Burrow's the answer. Like, he could be the difference in 10 wins and 7. I don't know.
When's the last time we've seen a rookie quarterback come in and win a lot of games, though? Like, is it all the way back to, like, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco? Because both those guys made the playoffs their rookie year. Has there been another rookie I've missed that's, like, led his team to the playoffs? Like, I know Baker Mayfield got all the credit last year, but they're, like, 7-8.
Mahomes.
Like, he was a second-year guy. He set a year.
Yeah.
They set Mahomes a year because they're in a similar situation as the Titans were of like, hey, we got a good roster. Let's just, you know, they actually stuck with Alex Smith who, like, you know, they had been there a year or two before. Like, hey, we'll let him kind of continue this, but we'll try to hit a home run for the future.
Well, 2 years is too long to wait for the Titans, right? I mean, you can't just prep your quarterback for 2 years hoping that whole roster will still be intact and then that's where you make your run.
I don't know. Like, you still got some young pieces. Now you'll lose a couple of those guys, but if you keep trying and keep trying to improve the roster and keep it good, you should be in an okay situation. Like, everyone keeps advocating for a teardown and tank for Trevor Lawrence. Like, man, that – we don't know if that works in the NFL.
No, and then when you do that, then you still got to go back and take more time building a team around it.
Right, then you have to go and build a whole new team. Like, we don't know if that works in the NFL. We see the Dolphins trying that.
There's too many pieces in the NFL for that to work.
Yeah, you got to have a good line, you got to have a good defensive line, you got to have a good secondary. Like, you got to have a lot of pieces. Like, you can't really tank
as much
and throw
as
away a whole season. You have to get lucky for it to work. Like, the Colts, it's one thing when you lose Peyton Manning, right? And your team immediately goes in the tank because you're starting Curtis Painter. That's one thing. It wasn't like the Colts tore their team apart to get Andrew Luck. They just had their starting quarterback go down. They immediately went back to the playoffs the next year.
Right.
So maybe Andrew Luck is that answer. Andrew Luck's done it more recently than Flacco. Or do they actually make the playoffs? They made the playoffs.
Russell Wilson. He took off the playoffs as rookie year. So
what
Andy
year was
Dalton,
that?
Actually.
Dalton and Luck did it. Yeah,
Russell took him to the playoffs. I think RG3 won the playoff game.
Yeah, he did. So that would be – when was that Luck draft class? Like 11?
12.
11 or 12. Okay, and like Flacco and Ryan are like, 08?
Yeah, 08.
Okay, so yeah, those guys would be more recently. So is our last example 2011?
Yeah, it must be.
Which is more recently than I thought. I forgot about Andy Dalton, and I forgot about Russell Wilson. How could you forget about Russell Wilson? But even then, I would say that was kind of luck with Russell Wilson. Like, it wasn't like you spent a first-round pick on Russell Wilson. You got him in the third round and put him into a really good team, which is something that the Titans could theoretically do here.
I mean, sometimes you got to have a little luck, though.
You know? Do.
I mean,
for sure.
And especially, I just don't know if it's worth it, like, in today's NFL to just try to – I know if you know you've got a franchise quarterback, then it would be worth it. But the problem is that's too much risk. I mean, if you were to tank for Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I'm not convinced Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I think he'll be good, but is he the second coming of you know what I mean? I mean, I don't think he's going to have as much hype coming out as Andrew Luck did.
He has cooled down a little bit.
I mean, with the way he's played this year, he's thrown more interceptions than the other top-level quarterbacks. I mean, right now, I mean, Burrow, Tua, maybe you'd rather have one of those guys. I think the move for the Titans is try to get Burrow.
And then just let him start year one?
Well, I don't know if you let him start, but
if you think you got
a chance to win.
My idea is, like, I think we're going to be in a – I don't want to call it unprecedented because I'm sure it's happened before, but it feels like – the first time in a long time, at least since I've been keeping up with football. Maybe I'm missing something, but this feels like the first time you're going to have maybe five or six veteran guys on the market at quarterback.
Can one of those guys be the difference, though?
This kind of goes back to what we've talked about here in Knoxville, man. Like, you just need an average quarterback play. You just need someone who can make open throws. Now, maybe that doesn't mean that the Titans could ever be a championship contender with an average quarterback. I don't think you could do that because the coaching staff's not good enough and your skill players aren't good enough. Like, you need something. It's not kind of like Jared Goff, just let him go out there and throw it around, you'll make it to the Super Bowl. But, like, you see somebody can hit open passes and, like, play above average quarterback, but, like, not great or even good, just above average. And, you know, while this defense is still elite, now this defense could fall off a cliff next year, and like maybe this is all off or not. But
you want to at least get something out of this defense, even if it's not a Super Bowl. Like, get a good playoff run.
Yeah, this team's good enough to be in the playoffs. Like,
get a division title.
The defense was top three in the league last year, and they're got to be hovering around the top three again this year. And you're 2-4. You just can't win, and those guys are going to get a little bit older and be gone. And who knows? But like I said, this feels like we're in kind of uncharted territory. When you look and you see, I mean, Andy Dalton could be moving on. Cam Newton, we'll see what happens with them because the Panthers are 4-0 with Kyle Allen, right? I don't think Kyle Allen's great. I don't even know if Kyle Allen's good, but he's winning and he's hitting open receivers and the defense is playing good and he's not making them one-dimensional and he's not bringing the team down with his injury. Like, we'll see what happens with Cam Newton's healthy, and apparently he's going to be back and practicing – after the bye week this week, right? So, like, they might have a decision as soon as the end of October on what they do with Cam Newton. He's owed a lot of money. They can get out of it if they cut him in the offseason, so he could come on the market. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, it might look like it's smart for them to tear it down.
Well, if you could get Phillip Rivers out of that deal.
I would love to get Phillip Rivers. Alabama boy, just bring him back to Nashville.
Even
like,
if you just get a year out of him, a year or two, you know? Like,
oof, man.
guys like that are getting, like, Cam's, you know.
I don't know about Cam. Like, I don't know. Like, the Cam we saw before he got shut down was not good.
Cam's not old, but he's just he's taking so many hits.
He's had the hell beat out of him.
And that Titans O-line is like, I don't know.
Right. So, like, Cam.
I'd be worried about Cam.
If he's healthy, though, I still think he's good. And I still think if he can get back to where he's mobile, that's good. And like I said, I think that would be fine with this defense. But I do think you're going to have a handful of veterans. I mean, Eli's going to be available. I don't want Eli. But he'll probably. If I'm Eli, you just retire, right? Like, instead of going to another team to try to do something. Hell, Nick Foles might be back on the market.
I mean, for where Mariota's at this point.
Maybe the Titans just trade with Jacksonville and get Nick Foles.
You probably take most of those guys, don't you?
Yeah, and like I said, we'll see what happens with Tannehill because if he gets a full week to prepare and start. We'll see what they do with him. There's going to be a lot of quarterback shuffling. And like I said, even Jameis Winston, which I don't think the Titans would sign just because of the Mariota comparisons. But, like, Tampa probably franchise tags Winston and gives him one more chance. I don't think he's been bad enough to get cut, whereas I do think the Titans are probably just going to let their franchise quarterback, I use that very, very loosely, the guy they drafted to be the franchise quarterback, probably just let him walk. And, boys, that will be the second quarterback that the Titans have drafted top of the first round to be their franchise quarterback that they just let walk. Be the third. Vince Young didn't. Vince Young never got the extension either from the Titans, right? Like, he was gone within 5 years.
Yeah.
Jake Locker just up and quit football. He's like, enough of this. I've made my $20 million. I'm going to go hunt. He's like, I'm just going to go live outdoors and do what I want to do. I've made enough money. I don't need to get the hell beat out of me anymore. Forget this.
He went and got himself a bow and arrow.
He already had one. He's like, I'm going to use it.
He got him a new one, probably.
A really nice one.
I'd go get Joe Burrow. Do that stopgap thing like you said. You know, find somebody to fill the void in the meantime and try to win the division or something. But
that would be my plan I'm running things.
Man, Joe Burrow, if you get him in the middle of the first round.
That would be my plan.
I think he's a steal.
We'll see what they do. They're at a crossroads, though, and we kind of knew that all year that this was going to be the case. That this year was really important. And so far it's gotten off to a disastrous start.
Either way, though, I think the answer is obvious that you have to play a different quarterback.
I wonder if any this almost never happens in the NFL. Like, I wish the NFL was more like the NBA in this regard. Like, it feels like all these quarterbacks could kind of help a playoff team, too, like right now. Like, Chicago. The Bears should be on the phone with all these teams. Like, hey, Philip Rivers, what will it take for you to send us Philip Rivers to come play in Chicago?
Maybe the Rams. You know, Philip Rivers is already in L.A.
Just give us Goff. You can have him. Like, we'll pay some of that money. Like, you just take him, Chargers.
I mean, just a straight-up trade. Like, you know, Philip Rivers is old, man. And Goff is young. At least you can mold him into something, maybe.
You never have that in the NFL because playbooks, I guess, and just personnel and all that. But, like, seems like there's a bunch of quarterbacks who could help some middling playoff teams. Like I said, if you could tell me that Andy Dalton or Philip Rivers or could end up in Chicago, that team becomes a lot more serious than they are with Mr. Trubisky.
Vikings might become a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I know Cousins has been good for two weeks, but
it doesn't work that way, though. Hour two in the books. Hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.